I think it's interesting that we're talking about overcoming discouragement, because as a church, we've been going through the Bible, we've been reading particular books, and we're reading about this guy called Job at the moment, whose life is all about discouragement. Okay, and so I think it's quite ironic that that's what we're reading about now. If you haven't heard about Job, I would suggest you read his book. Anything that's crappy about your life just now, you'll feel much better about. Yeah, so that's just something that I wanted to throw out over there. So allow me to tell you about this friend of mine from work, whose life goal, or one of her life goals, was to climb the Everest base camp. Now, for us mere mortals, a trek is okay. There are some wackos who go to the top of Everest, and then there are people who are a little less whack, but whack all the same, and they go to Everest base camp. So she headed to Everest base camp. She prepared for a year. She got up at 5 o'clock every morning. She did her run, etc., and she was totally sorted and ready to go. And then they are on the trip, and as they were climbing up to Everest base camp, she suffers a brain stroke. She has paralysis on the right-hand side of her hand. She had nausea, dizziness. She collapsed. Basically, she lost consciousness. By God's grace, she was able to get the help that she needs. Her hands are fine, etc. She still has vocabulary. But at the moment, my daughter's able to speak better English than her. A 40-year-old lady. But that's not the sad thing. The sad thing is that for the last few years, she was prepping for this promotion. Okay? And she hadn't got the promotion yet just because her superior hadn't got another opportunity. She suffered at Everest Base Camp. She came down. She was bedridden. A month later, her superior got the next opportunity. The opportunity that should have been hers passed her by because of what happened on Everest. I would not blame her if she's discouraged. In fact, it shatters my heart to think about the opportunities that are passing her by. However, the reality of life is what happened with her is not the exception, it is the rule. I think all of us go to discouragement, either issues with regards to financial situations, heartbreak, issues at jobs, and it hits you irrespective of your age, gender, education, qualifications, or financial situations. I love the Bible because the Bible is very real about situations that people go through, it shared with us a lot of situations that people went through, discouragements, and also has been very honest about how they were able to deal with those discouragements. So allow me to tell you about this one person called Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was one of the movers and shakers of the early church when it was set up about 2,000 years ago. In fact, initially, he was somebody who was a persecutor of Christians. So basically, his life's goal was to eradicate Christianity, and he had not a few Christians murdered, mass-scale Christians were murdered because of what he did. But it so happened that one day he was going somewhere, actually he was on the way to commit more murders, and the Lord Jesus caught up with him. His life was changed, he went from Saul, the persecutor of Christ, to Saul, the prisoner of Christ. The reason why I'm saying so, to Paul, the prisoner of Christ, was after God changed his life, he went from city to city talking about what Jesus had done for him. He spent time over there. He shared with them about his life experience. And a lot of people who were explorers of Jesus actually ended up becoming followers of Jesus. Okay, one of the cities that he spent time in was this place called Ephesus. The Bible tells us that he was there for about 3 years. The people over there didn't know Jesus until he went to that city. But then they had an encounter with Jesus through what Paul was speaking. Their lives were changed and they became followers of Jesus. Essentially, Paul was the father of faith for them. A few years later, Paul was thrown in prison because of his faith. How ironical. So here he's in prison. He gives a very detailed account of all that he suffered in prison and on the way to prison. In fact, he says that I've been lashed, I've gone hungry, life has been really difficult for me. But in the middle of all this difficulty, he's a man who in prison sat and wrote letters to the different churches that he had been a part of. And when the Ephesians heard about him being in prison, they were really discouraged. And they said, this guy's our father of faith. He's done so much for us. God has used him so much. Why is God allowing this to happen to him? And I think when we are going through discouragement, that's a question that we tend to ask very often. God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Now, you would think that situations are ripe for Paul to get really upset and discouraged. But like I said, he sits in the prison and he's writing letters of encouragement to all these guys. And these are some of the things that he says. He says, God's plan to redeem you or to make you followers of Jesus is part of God's plan for my life. He tells them, my suffering is for your benefit. Smack in the face. He says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. I think that's so beautiful because in the moment of discouragement, we tend to look for a scapegoat or somebody to blame. But here he's saying, you're not responsible for what I'm going through. In fact, it's supposed to be a blessing to you. And finally, Paul prays for them. And this is what he prays for them, which is our central text today. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He goes on, he says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know that this love surpasses knowledge and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And then he ends and he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work in us, to him be the glory to the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So I know there's a lot happening there, so don't worry. I'll break it down for us. And these are some of the things that we are basically going to look at or the framework for today's talk. So what is the source of encouragement? What is the basis for our encouragement? And finally, what is the result of our encouragement? So just give me a minute and let's just pray together and then we'll dive in. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are real. We thank you that you understand every situation that we've gone through. We want to acknowledge that we go through situations of discouragement, we really need your help in these situations. We pray that even as we go through this passage, that you would bring this passage to life for us, that exactly where we need help, you would help us, Lord. We worship you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's dive in. So let me give a caveat before we start over here. The purpose of this sermon is not to belittle situations when we are discouraged. I want to acknowledge that they can hurt and sometimes they can even break us. But when we are discouraged, we all know what happens through our thought life. It takes a big hit. Yeah, we start thinking about the worst case scenario. We say, why did this happen to me? Why couldn't something else happen to me? We can't stop thinking about what's happening. It robs our peace, it robs our sleep, and sometimes it even robs our relationships. The challenge is when we keep replaying these situations in our mind and they begin to dwell in our minds. And we can't think about anything apart from that. Unfortunately, we don't even have the strength to break out of this cycle of negative self-talk that we are stuck in. And this is probably what was happening with the Ephesians. And so Paul wants to speak to them, and this is what he says. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith." I think you would agree with me that when we are in this cycle of negative thought, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and we need nothing short of power to yank us out of that cycle. Okay? I think the thing with Paul, and I think I've established the situation he was in, the reason why Paul was able to be an encourager was because Paul chose not to be a prisoner of his circumstances. Paul chose not to be a prisoner of his circumstances. He didn't define his level of encouragement by his circumstances, and that, I believe, was something that was the source of his encouragement. I think for Paul, it was God strengthening his inner man through the Holy Spirit so that discouragement didn't dwell in Paul's heart. It was Christ who was dwelling in Paul's heart. And I think whenever we go through difficult situations, our default response is to change the situation. You're having a bad day. Let's head out for some ice cream. Okay? Why don't you change? Why don't you take a break and maybe you'll get a change perspective? If your boss won't change, change your boss. And I think we spend a lot of our mental energies looking at ways out of these circumstances, of how can we change these circumstances of us. But Paul seems to suggest that the response or the solution to discouragement is not changing our circumstances, but changing our perspective. I think all of us have experienced this, where we've been discouraged, and suddenly we begin to find ourselves moving through the gears from a discouraged faith to a revitalized faith. And we're wondering what's happening with us. It's God working on the inside of us to change our perspective. It's something for which we can take little glory, little credit, but God must take all the glory. And so when we are in a place of discouragement, I would like to encourage you that your encouragement should always come from God at work in your inner being and not through your circumstances. But Paul did say we need power for this. And what's the source of this power? So this is what he says. He says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." That's beautiful, but allow me to share with you a little bit more about it. I'm convinced that Paul was not a prisoner of his circumstances because of the love of God that transcends all circumstances. And even as he was in that situation where he was in prison, he had two choices: either crib or allow himself to be enveloped in the love of God. The beauty of being enveloped in the love of God is that when you lose yourself in God, you actually find yourself. And that's the beauty of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The one thing that Paul always did was, he said that in all situations, he rejoiced, because of what Christ Jesus was doing in him. However, there's something else that Paul also said. And this is what he focused on. He said, being rooted and established in God's love is a prerequisite for experiencing God's power. Being rooted and established in God's love is a prerequisite for experiencing God's power. For Paul, he recognized that the love of God was what he needed to be able to deal with these situations. It was in God's love that he experienced the power to overcome discouragement. But he also had a warning for the Ephesians, and this is what he said. He said, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I want to speak from my own experience by saying that the minute that I enter into a phase of discouragement, my default response is always, guys, give me my space. I just want to figure things out. And I'll come back into community, but just give me my space for a while. And I think the beautiful thing that Paul is saying over here, he's saying that you experience being rooted in God's love, and you experience the dimensions of God's love as you continue to engage with a community that loves Jesus and knows Jesus and loves loving you with the love of Jesus. And I think that's the beautiful thing that Paul is telling us, saying that the way out of discouragement is experiencing God's love, but not by yourself, but in the middle of a community that loves you with the love of Jesus. Which is why I wouldn't prescribe any self-help books, which only give us a list of do's and don'ts and pop psychology that doesn't hold any water when push comes to shove. I need my community as a collective unit to be able to walk beside me in my times of discouragement. Grasping the dimensions of God's love is only possible for us in a community as we move from discouragement to encouragement. I think for Ruchi and myself, we've been in this community for a year and 4 months now. And I think we've learned so much from this community on how to love Jesus. We've learned so much from this community just through the way y'all have loved us, through the love of Jesus. And I just want to stand here and say that both of us are really grateful and really humbled for the way each of y'all have played a role in us understanding God's love. And I know that I've experienced it, and I know I will continue to experience God pulling me through difficult situations as I continue to engage with God in the midst of this community. But there's a little bit more that Paul says. He says, okay, great. So you've experienced God's love, but hold on, there's a purpose for that. And he says, he talks to us about the result of our encouragement. And he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. So picture this. A person enjoying being rooted in God's love. A person enjoying engaging in God's love. A person who, even as he's in the middle of a community, is experiencing the dimensions of God's love. He can't remain in that same place. The trajectory has to change. I love this about God. His love is larger than our imagination. Our experience of His love is larger than our imagination. And what He does through this all is also larger than our imagination. Allow me to tell you the story about this person a situation that he went through can be described as anything but discouraging. His name is Judge Tom Cole. And in 2006, Judge Tom Cole was sitting at home when two law enforcement officers walk into his house and say, "Sir, we've got terrible news for you." They say, "Your 21-year-old daughter has been brutally murdered, and she is no more." And this is what he speaks a few days after he gets this news. He says, "I've seen others who have ended up being very bitter and angry and resentful, and it just destroys them. It destroys them from the inside out. And I was really blessed I didn't go through that. The only way I got through that was because of the faith I had. Christ dwelling in our hearts to help us move from discouragement to encouragement." The murderer was brought to justice. And at the sentencing, Judge Tom had an opportunity to speak to this murderer. His name was Robert. And he says to Robert something that really broke my heart. He said, "Robert, I forgave you even before I knew it was you. I forgave you even before I knew it was you who murdered my daughter." A few months later, God led him to go and meet Robert in prison. And Robert says to him, he says, "Judge Tom, how could you be so kind to me? I've murdered your daughter. What is it in you that's enabling you to be so kind to me?" And he turns to Robert and he says something that's really powerful. He says, "It wasn't me. It was Jesus inside me that was being kind to you." Judge Tom now goes from prison to prison with his wife, counseling other inmates about love and life and forgiveness and the hope that he found in his heart. He was able to move from discouragement to encouragement. And in that journey, God was able to do in him immeasurably more than he could ever think or imagine. So how do we take this whole passage home for us? I think each of us will go through different situations in life. Days of blahness and days of wahness. There'll be days where there's beautiful sunshine, the weather conditions are perfect, there's the wind in our sails, our faith will motor along, but there will also be situations where there are storms on every situation, when the night seems long and you can't wait for it to end. Through all these situations, the only thing that can help us to not crash into the rocks and self-destruct is an anchor that will hold through all seasons. I want to first address those of us who've perhaps come to a church for the first time, or those of us who are engaging with Jesus for the first time. Like Anand said, we always have friends like that who are visiting us. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you. I don't know what season of life you're in, but I would like to ask you a couple of questions. Do you have an anchor? Is your anchor holding? And are you losing yourself in trying to achieve these anchors? I want to present to you an anchor that will hold in all situations. We read through this passage where it talks about the love of Jesus. And it describes it as the love. It says, if only you could understand the width and the depth of God's love. A songwriter put it like this. She said, your love is deeper than my view of grace, wider than this worldly place, longer than the road I travel, and larger than the gap you fill. I think the author paints this beautiful, grandiose picture of Jesus' love. But what's the big deal about this love of Jesus? I think the world offers us many anchors. Fame, prosperity, relationship, acceptance, pleasure. But they all come at an extremely high cost. God longs to be that anchor. However, our sinful choices have separated us from that opportunity to make God our anchor. And in our own strength, we are incapable of making God that anchor once again. The price to be paid is expensive, and we don't have the resources to pay that price to make God our anchor. So Jesus became the perfect sacrifice, and he allowed himself to be crucified on the cross so that we have the opportunity to make God our anchor. We look for acceptance in many situations and many places. That sense of acceptance is very often our anchor. But here is the Lord Jesus who paid the price so that you don't have to pay the price to get this anchor, which is the love of God. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The beautiful thing about the Lord Jesus is that the anchor that he is offering us doesn't only hold in this life, it extends throughout eternity. For me personally, that was something that was really important to bring me to faith in the Lord Jesus. Because my fear always was that empty I've come and empty I'm going to go. What is it that I hold that will endure through this all? God sent his son so that you could have an anchor. But you don't need to pay for that anchor. He's already paid the price for it. I want to assure you that there's nothing more beautiful than being rooted and established in the love of a Savior whose love surpasses all understanding, whose span exceeds our wildest imaginations, whose depth is deeper than our deepest desire, and whose impact extends beyond our lifetime. We at New City want to acknowledge that you can experience this love only in the midst of a community. And so we want to welcome you to hang out with us, eat with us, game with us, even crash in our houses. But we want to assure you that at no point of time will we push this down your throat. We won't coerce you. We won't even incentivize you. We'll only be standing there. And if at any point of time you want to talk more about it, we are always available for a discussion. I also want to talk to some of us who've known the Lord Jesus for some time now. And even through our journey with him, we've been discouraged. His love has helped us out of our discouragement, but we are facing a new set of discouragements. And we are rocked more than we've been rocked ever before. This discouragement is a totally new animal. And we are wondering, whether the love of Jesus will hold us through this season. And like I said, perhaps we are at a place where we are saying, I want to enjoy community again. I want to enjoy loving Jesus again. But I'm really discouraged just now. Just give me some time and I'll be back being part of this community. I really want to encourage you based on what Paul said, where he said, the love of Jesus can be experienced only in a community that's loving Jesus and that loves you with the love of Jesus. You're moving from discouragement to encouragement is an inside job that God will do in your heart. That's mutually exclusive of your circumstances, but fully entwined with the community that you're engaging with. Yet it isn't us or you, but it's God who's doing all the work in the back end. I just want to quickly end with talking to some of us who are enjoying God's love when we are encouraged and things are going really great for us. And I think some of the verses that we've read today can be a really timely reminder to us that we cannot be filled to the full measure of the love of God. And we cannot be used by God immeasurably more than we can think or imagine unless we continue to explore the love of Jesus in the middle of this community. It's a beautiful triangle between God, us, and our community. And as the three continue to engage, we are filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. But that's not it. He enables us to collectively and individually achieve more than we can ever think or imagine. I also want to say this in ending because this is something that I think I've often messed up. I think it's a moment to also look at how we engage with those who are discouraged. And you see Apostle Paul over here, there's no lecturing happening. He's just really gentle with them. He's being really nice to them. And he actually just prays for them. And I was just thinking to myself and repenting of all the times I've lectured somebody who was discouraged, saying, what's wrong with you? Pull up your socks. Stop mucking around. I think it's a strong lesson for me from the Bible. If only I would use the time that I used to lecture them to instead pray for them. The only way that we can help us as a community to move from discouragement to encouragement is by being able to pray for each other and show love in action. I think it's so important that we look at this whole angle of community. Interestingly, the next thing that Apostle Paul talks about is about unity in a community. Allow me to pray this over us as we end. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, irrespective of our circumstances, according to his great power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.